Welcome to the Hidden Potential Podcast. I'm your host, Homer Hargrove, and in today's episode, I'm going to be showing you a clip from an interview I had with Aurelio Arias of Christ Mission College, who for one of his class assignments interviewed me as a local pastor to be able to give some practical and spiritual aspects of ministry and pastoring as well as sermon prep. This is going to be a great podcast episode for those of you who are aspiring to be in ministry. Let's get right into it.
So the reason I wanted to interview you is because I do like the way you speak. I like how you're clear, you're concise, and you get to the point, but you also are able to explain everything in a manner that your congregation, your audience gets the picture, understands it. And I've seen that in the feedback moments that they're able to articulate, you know, like right. What they received and tell you, oh, well, this point is because of this point, and I felt like the Lord was speaking to me in this point, and that's because I believe that you do such a great job at portraying the gospel and interpreting the gospel correctly to the people, and they're able to understand it. So I appreciate that. I see that in you. I see that you're really about the Bible and what the Bible says, and not like eisegesis, what you think and what you see, but what it right. really means, and you don't take it out of context. So that's another thing that I really admire about you. So that's a little something that I see. And that, so for this, I'll get off to the questions. My first question is, how do you know what to preach about?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, personally, there's two things that I take into consideration. The first is, what do I feel like God is leading me to talk about? And I feel like, especially in the times where I feel like stumped in a sense, I will enter in time of worship and prayer to get my direction. And so for me, I feel like the conviction that I need worship. I need prayer before I ever, even before I start, like even just doing a graphic or for the next series. I want to be connected with God to that first. And so that's the number one leading that I go by. The secondary thing I will use is is according to what I may feel or see that like my audience is needing or like going through. Like, for example, there's been times with where I've had like, say, a series planned for my church, and a traumatic event would happen. There's been times where I've changed the whole series, or like I'll postpone the series I had intended to be a later date, and I'll do a message, you know, specifically to minister to the tragedy. Like, for example, when the Uvalde school shooting happened, I threw out my entire message and created a new one that, like, it was like, I think it was like the night before, maybe. I had already prepared something, but I threw it all out and gave a message specifically adhering to this huge tragedy. And so again, it's the primary is just being connected with God. Secondary is what I feel like, what I see or perceive the audience to need at that moment.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I saw that. I think we talked about Sunday morning, you know, that you said you had a whole plan already. Yeah. And some stuff came up and you felt like the Holy Spirit was leading you to talk about something else. So you prepare something last minute, which I know for you, you know, I know you like to plan things out and know what you're going to talk about. So I do that. I know that sometimes that's not the first time that it has happened. I know that some people do that. But in those moments, you know, we did see the outcome of the return. You know, there was, I think, was there a new person there? There was one or two new people there. And I could see that they received it. You know, they received that message and they left at least maybe not. I don't want to say like, you know, like up for like a whole new different person, but at least that seed was planted and they did catch something onto that left them thinking. So thank you for that. The second question that I have to ask for you is, What practical steps do you take to prepare a sermon?
Yeah, that's a great question. It kind of flows into the first one, and that is prayer and worship and and reading scripture. It's like kind of like the daily things that any Christian should do are necessary for my own sermon prep. And I mean, I think that it's not necessarily always anticipated how busy you get in life to where you think that that would need to be wouldn't need to be said as a minister. But the truth is, like, the older you get and the more not, I don't want to use the word desensitized, but the more desensitized you get to ministry, it's easy to look at your next Sunday or your next opportunity to minister as like just another thing you have to get through. And my prayer is constantly, God, help me to see this Sunday as a day of purpose, not just another day. And I do that by having that devotion time, having consistent prayer time, consistent worship time, and consistent reading of scripture. So that's like the background that doesn't seem like this fireworks show as like spectacular buildup, but that is the most necessary thing when preparing for content. And I feel like, especially like in with our generation now, it's very easy to find content to regurgitate and repeat. And especially like I've seen a lot of ministers even like going to ChatGPT to get their content. And it's like, I never want people to feel like they have to recreate the wheel, but when it comes to like really creating anointed content, it requires you to have that connection with the Holy Spirit. And you could say the same thing that you heard someone else say, but if you don't have the devotion time in yourself and saying it, it will not have the same kind of results. It's just like that background of your personal devotion is really what makes the difference, regardless of what you say. The anointing of God is greater than any kind of skill or talent you can conjure up. So that's again, very important background. The practical aspects is really for me that it depends on where I feel like what God is telling me to speak about. And so there will be moments where, say like perhaps I have a certain, say a certain person of scripture that I feel like the Holy Spirit is leading me to, use as an example. And I'll do like a person study to where I'll choose like a person to build a story off of. And I'll use, for me, I like to use a lot of scripture to surround the story, and really give it the imagery of the scene and the emotion of the scene, rather than just taking a couple Bible. I think like what a lot of people do is they'll develop the principle. They already know what they want to say, or they know what they want to project, and they'll use scripture to confirm it. I feel like for me, I like to pull the thought and the heart out of the whole story of scripture, rather than trying to use scripture to confirm an idea I had. Does that make sense? And so rather than just using one simple verse, I expound on a lot of verses to create the context. And again, I'm giving a lot of more philosophical ideas or ideological ideas when it comes to the background. When it comes to the actual like structure of it, I start off with a main idea and I type it out the main idea I type out as a manuscript, to where I say exactly what is it that I'm trying to say within the whole message. And I try to fit it into one solid sentence. And then the next paragraph is kind of like the idea of like, so what? So like, why does that sentence matter? And expounding on it. And then the third sentence is why it applies to you, like why it should apply to the audience. And so again, I'm those three things is I give a main idea, and then I explain why it matters. And then I explain why it matters to the audience. And this is all just within my introduction. And when I build it out that way, and then I'll end by saying, this is what we're going to talk about today, or in a sense, like, this is what I want to happen today by the end of this message. And it's say, it's like, I want to teach you, I want to edify in it, but like more specifically, like what three things I want to happen in the message for the individual of the audience. And when I do that, I feel like it helps me to be articulate in like how you said, like to the point, to where I think a lot of ministers end up more so focusing on like catchy punchlines and things that sound intelligent that aren't necessarily comprehensible. It's like the idea of like the saying is like, you could hear preaching like, but you know what, with God, you need to expect the unexpected. And it's like, that sounds great, but it doesn't make sense. Like it's not a real statement. It's a self-defeating statement. You can't expect the unexpected. It just sounds catchy, but it doesn't really edify you. And for me, when I have a message, I want it to edify not just your spirit or your emotions. I want it to edify your mind, and I want you to understand why you believe in your faith. I want you to comprehend your faith more. I don't want you to, I may want you to feel encouraged, but I want you to understand what something deeper about God. I want you to learn something more about your faith in order to strengthen your faith.
Yes.
And so I feel like for me that like it really, it builds the rest, like every message, it builds much more comprehensively because I'm not trying to impress with a catchy punchline. You know, I'm not trying to catch with a seemingly, you know, bright idea. I'm trying to really unpack a simple scripture, like an obvious scripture, and unpack it to where we can find very clear lessons from it. And so anyway, that's my introduction. As far as the layout, it'll build out with point one, point two, point three, pretty consistently. I just go by a 3-point method. And for my points, for me, I have a 1 word, a 1 to 3 word point of like what, like the title of the point is. But I use one sentence or a quote to expound that point. And so even like when I have when I put things on a screen, if I have like slides, I'll put the kind of like the essence of the main idea. I'll fit the entire point, everything I'm kind of wanting to say into a single sentence. And I start off with that so that it can be more of like a comprehensible quote or an idea that people can initially hear at the beginning and grasp. And the rest of what I say within the mess within that point is just really affirming the first sentence I shared in that quote. And so it's really just building. And again, it's rather than building on a catchy, like sticky ideas, like trying to use alliteration or trying to make, you know, these sticky sayings, I try to make it a comprehensible quote that is understandable and makes sense. And then I just hit that and everything else I say within that point. With each point, I will consider scripture that I'm using, whether it's a linear path, like I'm using the same person within different parts of scripture in each point, or different scriptures to affirm like this belief. Again, for me, typically I like to use a lot of scripture. I don't even know the last time I've only used like one verse or two verses. I use I think by the time I'm done, I'm using like a whole chapter, whether it's from one book or from several books. I'm reading like a whole chapter of scripture. Again, I'm really building out. I use scripture as like a main piece to my message, and then I'll consider on top of that scripture, I'll consider like a personal story. To kind of like sidestep and create transparency and a touch point with people to connect emotionally. And then I'll go back to the message. Does that kind of answer your question? And for me, every time at the end of the message, if it's a spiritual message, like to a church or whatever, I always end with a call to action by giving an opportunity for Christ. It doesn't matter if it's the same, if it's the same people from last week, I'll always give an opportunity for Christ. It doesn't matter if they've been there for 2 years and it's only them. I will always give an opportunity for Christ because I want people to, by the end of the message, to grow closer to Jesus. That's my goal every single time. I want them by the end of this message to grow closer to Jesus. And I make that a very clear point at the very end.
Yeah, we were actually talking about that in class today because there was this debate on, you know, one of the students said, well, I don't think that it's necessary for you to have a call to action, like to salvation every single time, you know, if you're trying to edify the church, or how do you know when to separate it if the message isn't about salvation, but about edification to the church? So we kind of got into a, not a discussion, but like a debate, like on like, you know, and I used you as an example. That I like the way that you do that, because you, I've seen that you, like, consistently throughout the time that I've been interning there, you always do two things. And like you said, you do like the call to action, which is like the salvation, because y'all ask if you feel like if this is your first time that you've been here and you want to speak with Jesus, you know, like, let's do that. So you give that opportunity for salvation. But then again, you tie a call to action with the message that you gave. And you say, now, if the Holy Spirit prompted you throughout this message, or if you feel like this message was for you, then raise your hand, or like, let's pray, you know. So I do see that. And those are really practical steps. And that's why I kind of wanted to, I've been seeing them, you know, like I, like, especially this last Sunday, now I'm kind of like wanting to see and wanting to know, because, you know, I do look up to you in that sense. And I see you as a model for that, like a, you know, so I've been paying attention more to how you do it and how you make it practical. And like you say, it's not just a, like a catchy friend, like a catchphrase that you say, expect the unexpected, but then the audience could be like, okay, like, what does that mean?
What do you do with that?
how is that practical to my life? If I'm always expecting the unexpected, but the unexpected happens when I'm least expecting it, or when I'm expecting it, you know? So it's like you leave a point that makes it more like, okay, this is what this means. This is practical to your life. You can apply it to your life and you can use it. So I do see that.
And just sidestep on that real quick too. Like I was not raised in church. I've been in ministry for 13 years, and there'd be so many times where there'd be all these sayings like that. And after a message, I would talk to somebody about like, oh, what'd you think about it? And someone would say like, oh, I really liked it when he said this. And I would ask, what does that mean to you? And I'm like, most of the time they're like, and they didn't even know how to like articulate what it meant. They just liked how it sounded. And I was like, well, how is that edifying to you? Like, you said that you liked it. What about it did you like? Well, I mean, it's like no one really knew even what they like, what it meant, even though it sounded nice, or it sounded, you know, like this punchline or this gotcha moment. And it's like, how is that edifying? And with the call to action as well, like you said, it's always, for me, I would argue that you never know what someone is going through. Like there's been so many times where I thought like, oh, this person's good. Like this person's legit. Like they don't need an opportunity for Christ. And I would give it and they'd be raising their hand and like crying unto God. And it's like, you never know what someone's actually like dealing with that's between them and God. And I'll word it in a very, I'll start like specific and broaden to where I say, maybe I'll talk in a way like, maybe you've never made a decision for Christ, or maybe you just feel like there's a wedge between you and Jesus right now, and you need to make a decision. You've never made a decision before. You need to right now. And it's like, it helps like clarify if that's you or not. And then for everyone else, like you said, I'll make this second call to action for the rest of you while they're talking to Jesus. If you're here and you feel like the Holy Spirit is just like really speaking to you, that this is exactly what you needed to hear, and he's telling you to do something, raise your hand. And like, again, I'm funneling it to the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something. Rather than making it like, just leaving it unharvested, I try to lead, I'm just trying to lead people to act on what the Holy Spirit was already telling them. When they showed up, the Holy Spirit was already putting this on their heart. Now that they're here, it just feels like the Holy Spirit is just, you know, screaming it at them and just like affirming what God has already been speaking to them. And all we do as ministers is we're simply funnels of what God was already speaking to people. Like when I bring someone to Christ, they were already being ministered to by Christ way before they met me. And it seems like this is just like the closing moment. And so again, we're just funnels. And, but if we do not navigate people to that decision, then we're leaving them, you know, in like kind of open waters. It's just you can just be so much more effective. So I just wanted to make it, you know, that much more clear on that point.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, that was good. So for my third question, which you kind of answered already, but I'll just ask it anyways.
That's okay.
Do you pray or fast? Like, is there a specific, you're like, oh, I'm going to go like on a 3-day fast before I speak a message, but you're constantly speaking. So it's like, or you just get into the routine of like, okay, I take this day and this day just for fasting to get closer. Or like you already built that habit of like your spiritual disciplines and stuff like that to where you feel like you're already in that connection with Christ.
Yeah. When it comes to like, say, prayer, that's a consistent thing throughout the week, but especially the day of, like the day that I'm preparing a message, I'll take like 30 minutes to sometimes, or it like drags into an hour of just worship and prayer before I sit down. And I find that like, that's like incredibly necessary for me. And when I try to just jump into a message without doing that, I feel so blocked. I feel like writer's block. I feel almost like aimless and unclear. But when I just take that time to pray and worship, I feel like I'm more so transcribing what the Holy Spirit already has ministered to me. And I'm just like, in a sense, like this vessel, just like now at this point, I'm just typing out what I feel like God is speaking to me. Like, for example, this last Sunday, like I had shared, I had prepared a whole message beforehand, and I'm still going to be giving that message just later, just next month instead of this month. But then after I knew that I needed to change it because of unexpected events, I first took time to pray and worship. And then I sat down and I just started writing, and it's like the message just flowed from the Holy Spirit because of that prayer time and being like just in the Spirit, to where it's like, it just, there's no like blocks in a sense. Like, and because I have a regular reading discipline as well, as I'm writing or typing the points of the message, like those scripture verses are being implanted in my heart, my mind by the Holy Spirit, and also by knowing scripture myself. Like I don't need to look at the concordance because I read scripture regularly, and I don't need ChatGPT to tell me what verses should I use about X, Y, or Z, because I know the scripture myself. I know where to find it, and that those verses can come to my heart so naturally. And I'm not saying that like there's not times where like I'll get like a block, like, oh, what scripture, like I'm dyslexic. So sometimes I'll think of the quote of scripture or the verse, but I'll get confused of the numbers. And so I'll type in the verse that I'm saying, because I just can't get the numbers right. I typically know the chapter or the books, but sometimes because of dyslexia, I'll get the verses all messed up. So I'm not saying that we can't like, you know, use Google and say like, where is this verse at? But it's like really just about having scripture in your heart. That's the most important thing. And when it comes to fasting, every year, my wife and I, we do, and we do it with our church as well, we do a 21-day fast at the beginning of the year. And for me, that's one of the most powerful seasons, because it helps prepare me for the rest of the year. And it's really, when it comes to like fasting beyond that, it's kind of like, there's been seasons where I've fasted like regularly, like say like the first 3 days of the month, or once a week. There's been seasons where I've done that, And then there's been seasons where I didn't do that. And so it sometimes goes according to like what season you're in, to where there's times where like you do additional fasting, and times where you're not doing additional fasting. But for me, my absolute, like where there's not anything less than, is the 21 day fast I do at the beginning of the year. Everything beyond that is according to what I feel led by the Spirit.
Okay.
And again, that's in the season I'm in right now with three kids under 4 years old. And it's like when I was young and without kids, I'd fast a lot more frequently, but my fasting time is changed ever since having kids. And it comes to extra.
Okay. Question number four would be, what's the biggest challenge while developing a sermon?
I think there would be a few things I would say. One would be overcoming your own insecurities. I feel like sometimes, even as ministers, there's moments where, depending on the audience we're going to be speaking to, there's moments in which we try to find validation for ourselves within the message we're preparing for. And it goes into like, I don't think it's always intentional, but it's easy for us to start trying to find value in ourselves or validation in ourselves by hoping that people think that this message is good, or hoping that we have this passive thought in the back of our head that could rise up. You know, I hope that this like impresses somebody, right? You know, and it's really easy for that to kind of come out of nowhere. And whenever we do that as ministers, it makes the message weird. And there's been times where like I would want to validate myself as a minister, as being a young minister, like in the past. Like I planted a church when I was 24, you know, as like I wanted to seem like I had it together, like I was knowledgeable. There'd be moments where I would try to add like additional content or extra research, and like to try to show that I did my due diligence in preparing for the message. And I was adding this extra research, not because I felt like it was truly what the message needed, or that it would be truly like that it was like Holy Spirit prompting me to put this in the message. But my real honest motivation was I wanted validation for people to see that like I seem like I did my research, that I'm intelligent enough to put together a message. And I more so wanted, it was like this indirect desire to want to, like I keep saying, like to feel validated. And so it's something that I don't think is often talked about, but I think it's something that a lot of ministers, I don't want to say struggle with, but it's something that we go through and we think about. And so overcoming yourself and just coming to a place to where I am simply a messenger. I am a waiter bringing food that has been prepared for by the Holy Spirit. And like what I feel like God has told me to say in this is for the betterment of whoever is to receive it. Like of not trying to mix your identity into that message. You dig what I'm saying? It can get real personal when it shouldn't be. We should always try to like take a step back and look at that whatever content we're creating is for the service of God's people. It's not for the validation of self. It's not for the advancement of self. Our motivation should be for the service of people. And I feel like that should be a constant check with ministers when preparing for a message. I would say in the moments where you feel stumped and in pressure, a lot of ministers will wait last minute to prepare their content, and they'll get so stressed out and just get so stressed out and feel so much pressure, to where they think that they work better under pressure, but it's more so they work under procrastination and force themselves to write something down because of undue pressure that wasn't necessary. And so They like it, it can be so you end up taking so much more stress because you felt felt this pressure to create something last minute when if you were to sit down and make the time to prepare ahead of time, you wouldn't feel all of this extra pressure, this writer's block, like you do that, like when ministers wait till the day before. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. That does.
And sometimes, yeah. A lot of times minister will, they'll put off, like they'll say they'll have a day, like I need to write this. And they'll take like 5 minutes to think about it and feel like they can't think of anything. And so they'll just tell themselves, well, I'm going to stump right now. I'll think of something later. And then that later just turns into the night before. They're like, what am I going to talk about? I need to talk about something. And so I don't think it's always intentional, the procrastination, but it's like, you got to just, if you feel writer's block, rather than giving up after 5 or 10 minutes, have time of worship and prayer. And by the end of that worship and prayer time, you'll most likely have the direction that you need for your talk.
Yeah. Nice. That's good. So this might sound redundant, but maybe you could clarify the questions, okay? Because I feel, yeah. So the next question would be, what inspires you in the sermon development itself?
Is for me, honestly, and not trying to sound cheesy, but it's really the thought of Jesus being revealed to somebody clearer. I feel like whenever I'm unpacking a story and I'm preparing, my biggest excitement comes at thinking that someone will see Jesus more clearly through this message. And honestly, that's what excites me the most. And I believe that the deeper revelation we have of Jesus, the deeper revelation we have, that it leads to a deeper level of repentance. Like our level of repentance is dependent on our level of revelation of Jesus. And when I say level of repentance, I think that our level of repentance determines our level of revival in our own individual lives. And there's so much reservation that we have when it comes to our relationship or our walk with Christ. And so many people have one foot in, one foot out, because they just simply don't know Jesus fully. They have the perception of him being hell insurance, but they don't see how just genuinely good and beautiful the presence of God is. Like the presence of God is so amazing. And I feel like so many people should experience it, but they don't, because they don't realize how clear Jesus could be for them. So again, it's just my number one motivation is the thought that Jesus will be more clearly revealed to an individual.
Okay, thank you. And yeah, you do make that clear. Like I was saying earlier, I see when you say something, you explain it to the way that I could see, like how that's applicable, and how the Holy Spirit and how Jesus is revealed through what you are saying. So thank you for that. I have two more questions.
That's okay.
The next question would be, how long does your process take? So like, is there like a specific, like you say, oh, well, this sermon takes about 3 hours, or this sermon takes me like about a week to prepare, or, you know, how long does that take normally, an estimate for you?
Yeah. When it comes to the actual sit down time, it can vary. I think an average for me, like when I'm in a flow, it could be 3 hours. That doesn't include the preparation mentally and spiritually throughout the week. I think that, again, like I keep saying, that's the most important part, of having like that spiritual life, of devotion. So not including that, just actually sitting down, and writing, it could be about 3 hours. There's been times where it took me 8 hours. But usually that was when I was writing my entire sermon out as a manuscript, there'd be times where I used to only do like bullet points, and I would talk for 90 minutes with just 3 words on my paper. The reason I started doing manuscripts, where I type it all the way out, like word for word, was because I was trying to condition my timing. I was trying to get better at my time and know exactly what I was going to say so that I wouldn't talk so long. And now that I practice that, I'm back at a space where I have kind of like this middle part where I have these summaries, not the full manuscript, but these summaries, but also not just like one word things. And that's been kind of like my balance to where I know, it helps me to have enough flexibility to preach rather than just read from a paper. But it also gives me enough, boundaries to stay within an appropriate time. So again, I would say like 3 to 5 hours, but on the light side, usually 3.
Okay. And that was another one of my questions, you know, cause, like since we're taking homiletics class and this is an interview like on sermon development and how you do that, you know, that was another question, which you kind of touched base a little bit, was like, you just do the 3 outlines, the 3 mm-hmm. points, the 3 words, or like full manuscript, but you kind of touched base on that. So yeah. How do you, like you said, you do a little bit and leave some. So like when you have a manuscript, is that what you want to get across? And then you give yourself flexibility to anything else, or how?
Yeah, I can expound on that. So a manuscript is when you're writing the entire transcription of your message word for word. And to the point where like, even if I plan to share a story of writing the entire story out on paper, even though like I know it in my head, that's what I would do with manuscripts. And I've done that before I did that for quite some time. And that's when it would take me like 8 hours to prepare my message. Now it taking me roughly like 3 to 5, usually 3, but on 5 on the heavy side. What I'll do is kind of like what I said at the beginning of our interview, yes. I'll create that main idea. And so I have I use a template every time that I created on my notes through my computer. And so that template, every time it has the first half, which is the main idea. And I'll often start there to where I write out the main idea, like what I said at the beginning. And then I have the transition to the first point, which the first point is the title of the point, and then the quote, which is a single concise sentence that summarizes what the point is talking about. And then I'll have either 1 to 2 paragraphs summarizing like what that point is. And sometimes I'll have it as like, I'll have it as like sub bullet points to where it's like 3 sentences, where each sentence like summarizes like the expounding on the main point. And then within that, this section of the first point, I'll have this option, like in my notes, it literally says an option to share a statistic or a story or, an additional, you know, research portion. And I have that as like this optional piece. And then within that point, I'll have my scripture content, and I'll have that either like positioned at the beginning of the point or scattered throughout or at the very end. And so all of that is intentional, of like when I share that scripture is planned out according to the summaries or the sub bullet points that I've placed. And so I structure it in a time format. And then I do that with each additional point. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. Thank you. Okay, so now to wrap it up, like you explained pretty much practical sides, knowing how, preparing for it, how you do it, your biggest challenges. So when you go through all that, when do you know your sermon is fully developed? Does that make sense? Like when you're like, you got all your sub points, you got all your main ideas, you got your call to action and everything. Do you review it like once or twice and then crop some stuff out, or you're like, no, I think this is it. Let's go with this? Like, when do you know your sermon is fully developed and that's what's good?
There's a couple checks that I'll do. The biggest one is like my spiritual heart check, to where I can fully I can fully like believe that this is what I'm supposed to give to on a Sunday. And there's been times where I transcribed an entire message, like took the time, did the like everything fully, full out. And by the end of it, I felt in my heart, like, this is not what the Holy Spirit is telling me to say. I got it wrong. Like this, like, and I'll go back and either edit it or like, look at where did I go wrong in the direction. And or there's times where I had to throw it all out and start from scratch, because it's like, there again, it's not that that's all the time or like common, but there's like those few times where I do it all and I just feel like my heart isn't settled about it, and that the direction is just not where the Holy Spirit wants me to go. And so like having that heart check at the end, where like just asking the Holy Spirit, is this what you want me to say, is kind of like the number one thing. And then the secondary thing would be, I ask, like, I look at it and I consider, is this understandable and clear? And that's like a really big thing that I want in every message. And again, there's been times where I'll look back at it and there's been times in the past where I'll look back and I just feel like this is all over the place, or this is going in too many different directions. Often I'll catch that in the building of the message. Like as an example, this past week, the past week, the message that I originally was going to share, but now I'm not going to share until next month. Like I was going to use like three different perspectives, like three different people to look at three different people's perspective to build the case for the main idea that I was wanting to share. But yes, midway, like I had started by breaking it out into 3 points, and then I was going to start filling in the summaries. Midway, I was like, I feel like this is too scattered and I want to be more clear. I feel like this is going to make it more confusing by jumping around too much. I want to make it more clear and understandable. I feel like I should just focus on one individual and expound on their perspective in the way that I wanted to in these other ones. And so again, like the second question is, the second thing I ask myself, is this clear and understandable? Does it have a clear direction? Those are the two things I ask myself, that spiritual heart check. And then, is this clear and understandable? Okay. And in a practical sense, now I do a virtual online recording. And so I have this, so I go through the entire message and record it, to where it gives me this opportunity to, if I say something or go somewhere that I feel like wasn't right, I'm able to change my direction. But even before I started doing an online virtual service like that, I would just have my notes like on my tablet, and I would preach the message in my living room and go through the entire message and just record it on voice memos, like the audio. That way I was able to, in a sense, have this practice, this trial run to know for sure that this message was clear and complete with the proper direction. And then if it was, and it's great, let's move on. And I would actually, like say the morning of, I would play that recording back to myself as I was getting ready on Sunday. And I would listen to it like throughout the morning as I was getting ready for church, so that it was just like really captured in my heart.
Okay. Well, I think that's all I have for you today, Pastor Homer.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode. I hope that made a difference in your life and that was edifying for your leadership. Can you do me a favor before you go? Could you leave a rating and review for this podcast? It really mean a lot to me and it'd help someone else be able to have an impact made in their leadership. All that being said, to further connect, all you have to do is follow me on Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook by following at HomerDH3, or you can visit my website at HomerHargrove.com. Until next time, have a good life.